Will you pray with me? Lord, open our ears and minds and hearts to know you better. May we always expect miracles in all circumstances. Amen. John the Apostle and his brother James, the sons of Zebedee, were both followers of Jesus and known as the sons of thunder for their insistence on Samaria receiving divine punishment for not following the words of Jesus. They were sometimes callous. When Jesus spoke of his impending death, James and John both said they would do whatever Jesus needed them to do, as long as they could sit one on his right and one on his left in glory. They were rough around the edges. They said exactly what they thought. And they were a lot like us, very human and flawed and wanting to do their best and coming across in all the wrong ways. And they were changed by Jesus. James, the apostle, was the first to be martyred. John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, lived to be quite old and wrote the gospel we heard from today, as well as three epistles or letters that appear later in the New Testament. Paul even attests to John's prominence by referring to him as one of the pillars of the Jerusalem church in his letters to the Galatians. John, as well as his brother James, are proof of how Jesus can bring about change. They were made new because they chose to follow Jesus. These callous, opinionated men became not only his disciples, but apostles, touched by the Holy Spirit and commissioned to share the good news of salvation through Christ. John's gospel is similar in some ways to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but different in other ways. It stands out for what was left out. There are no recounts of Jesus' birth, baptism, or temptation by Satan. There's no mention of eating with tax collectors. No transfiguration, parables, or exorcisms. It stands out because of what John chose to focus on. At its core, the Gospel of John is dedicated to illustrating the divine nature of Jesus, that he was and is the Son of God, and that all who believe in him will have eternal life. John shows that Jesus is not just God's Son, but is also fully God and can reveal fully who God is to us. John records 8 signs or miracles in his gospel to reveal Jesus' divine and human nature, as well as his life-giving mission. And he starts not with the story of Jesus' birth, but with a wedding where the hosts are running low on wine. It's like John is telling this story that starts, okay, so one time we were at this party and weddings in Jesus' day were week-long celebrations. Imagine having a wedding reception today that lasted a full week and had an open bar. Lots of planning required. And it was a serious social gaffe to run out of wine for these events. It was a major breach of hospitality. The whole town was invited. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was invited to this wedding. Nazareth was just south of Cana. So maybe Mary was a friend of the family or a relative. Jesus and his first 5 disciples attended too. 5 people who decided to follow Jesus, their rabbi, about 3 days before the wedding. I'm not sure what the protocols were back then, but if I was invited to a wedding with one of my children, and at the last minute my child brought 5 of their friends, I'm not sure how that would go over. Jesus' divine nature is slowly being revealed. John the Baptist in this gospel saw Jesus coming and said, "There is the Lamb of God." And then 2 of John the Baptist's disciples followed Jesus, Andrew and John. Simon Peter, Philip, and Nathanael came along as well. And Mary always knew of her son's divine nature. John the Apostle might not have recorded the virgin birth, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Mary knew who Jesus was. He was her son, and he was the Son of God. In this miracle story, there's so much more to reflect on than simply that the hosts ran out of wine and Mary pressured Jesus into doing something about it, and so he performed this miracle kind of on the down low. This is how profoundly things can change in the presence of Jesus, and how when he becomes a part of your life, amazing things can happen. In this story, his first follower steps out in faith. Jesus uses something simple and basic to illustrate the capacity for becoming something new and greater when we walk with Jesus. And we're reminded that sometimes we're the only ones, or maybe part of a handful of people, who get to witness a miracle. And that is more than okay. Mary, Jesus' mother, was in many ways his first disciple. Sure, she raised him. He might have been the Son of God, but he still needed to be parented as a child. Yet Mary knew who he was from the time the shepherd showed up and told her and Joseph what the angel had said about the child. And she held all those things in her heart. When she approaches Jesus, though, and says, "They're out of wine," she might not have been expecting a miracle. She may have just been going to her oldest son, trusting that he would help the host family save face. His brothers were there too, but Mary went to him, trusting that he would help, even though she didn't know exactly what he would do. Our lives are like that. We go to Jesus for help, but we don't know exactly what to expect of him. We trust that Jesus hears our prayers and knows the worries of our hearts as well as our hopes. But we don't know what the end result will be. We just have to trust that Jesus, the Son of God, is going to do the right thing for us. His answer may not be what we think it should be, but he will answer our prayers. Mary tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." That still doesn't say that she was expecting a miracle. She trusted him to do the right thing. This is a simple directive that could be applied to us in our lives whenever we're experiencing doubt or turmoil. Do whatever he tells you. We may have a particular idea about how our prayers should be answered or our crises should be resolved, but we need to trust him to do what is best for us. Just like Mary trusted Jesus to help her and help the host family at the wedding, she didn't know what the solution would be, but she trusted it would be the right one for the moment that they were in. Jesus, in the scripture, resists Mary's overture for him to do something about the lack of wine for the wedding. He says, "My hour has not yet come." Maybe he had not planned to reveal his divine nature yet, but he responded to her statement by using something basic: water. Throughout his ministry, Jesus used items and objects that were familiar and humble to make his points with his disciples and his followers, like a loaf of bread and a cup of wine on the Passover table. The stone jars had held water for purification rituals. Purification rituals were important in the Jewish community. People became symbolically unclean just by touching day-to-day items. In fact, there are immersion rituals that are still done today when people, it symbolically looks at re-entering society or embracing a new life. Like cancer patients finished with chemotherapy and radiation, immersing themselves The old is gone. The new is here. When we experience baptism, our old life is gone, sins are washed away, and a new life begins as one of God's own children, being part of the family of God. Without doing or saying anything specific other than telling the servants to refill the stone jars with water, Jesus took something unremarkable and turned it into something special. His divine nature was revealed in the physical change of water into wine. In the presence of Jesus, we can be transformed and made new, just like the water changing into wine. He answers the request of Mary for intervention for a problem, but takes care of it in an unexpected way. If those stone jars are us, think about how, with a few simple words and his presence in our lives, Jesus can inwardly change us. He can change the unremarkable into the remarkable. He can mend the broken and find the lost. The final point in this miracle story is how low-key it is. This is the first of 8 signs or miracles in this gospel, and it's almost done under the radar. Who witnesses it? 5 brand new disciples, a handful of servants, and maybe Mary. The steward receives the excellent wine and compliments the bridegroom on saving the best for last. But he doesn't miss a beat with his wedding responsibilities. All he knows is there's still wine and it's the best and better than the wine that was served at the beginning of the party, and he moves on with his job. Changing water into wine at Cana wasn't a big, visible miracle like telling the paralytic to walk, healing the man born blind, or the miracles that are in the other gospels, such as feeding the 5,000 or healing the Gerasene demoniac. These are prominent, in-your-face miracles. Changing water into wine? It was a whisper. Only a handful of people even knew. But those that did know, especially the disciples, knew they were in the presence of someone special. The disciples accepted him as the Son of God. Have you ever prayed about or for something, and then one day something happens that you can't ignore? And you might be the only one aware that the very thing you needed to happen had come to pass, and in an unexpected way. You're praying for more work, and you wind up picking up additional work for a colleague who can't. You're praying for a new job and you interview for one, but an entirely different one comes your way and it's even better. Talk about saving the best wine for last. You're praying for the healing of a broken relationship with an adult child, and after 6 months, out of the blue, they call. You're praying for direction in your life, asking God for insight, and within minutes, someone you barely know says one little thing, and you know that God was listening. Sometimes God takes care of things before you even know you need to be taken care of. I was once called to serve on an Emmaus team for Walk 76. And I knew that that weekend was already full for me, but I agreed to prayerfully consider it, believing that I would have to call back Joe Bruner and say, sorry, can't. Within 24 hours of my hanging up the phone, every single obligation and every single barrier between myself and that walk went away. And that was the walk where I answered my call to ministry. Jesus had already given me water, and now he was saying, let me show you who I am. Let me change that into wine. Miracles are about change. Jesus changed two boisterous sons of thunder into his most faithful followers and most persistent voices in the wilderness, reaching those who did not believe. Jesus changed water into wine at a wedding reception, and he changed the lives of five new disciples when they realized, yes, they were indeed in the presence of the Son of God. He changed the lives of the servants, whether there were two or four or six of them. They knew that they had put water into those jars, but by the time it was walked across the compound, it was wine. And it was because Mary's son had told them what to do, and they'd done it. Do what he tells you. Sometimes it's wait, just wait. And that's hard because we want everything resolved right now. But do what he tells you. He's not only changing things in your life, but he's working to change you too. So remember, invite Jesus to the party. Invite Jesus to your life. Leave the door of your heart open. Trust him to do what is necessary and what is right. Let him sit down next to you and whisper, "I hear you. I know what you need. And I am going to answer in unexpected ways. And you will know it when I do." Amen.